up? Welcome back to Ministry of the Body, everybody. That's right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. For those of you who are here for the first time, my name is Lox. Yes, welcome to the channel. And obviously, I'm not alone. I am with my brother. Brother, introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tato, the brother.
Tato, the brother. we're gonna trademark that one. You are Tato, the brother.
I like it.
So anyway, we'd like to read your comments as we would like to start doing in every episode. And in the previous video, these were the comments that you guys sent to us. And thank you so much for commenting, guys. We really appreciate your comments. We really do. So the first one is from Tweni Pupedi. And Tweni says, wow, unconditional love. Today, I learned the true meaning of what those words mean. This video is literally the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Thank you so much. And we always say that it's never us who's doing the speaking. The Holy Spirit is the one who uses us to be able to you know, teach or share the message that he wants us to share. So when we hear things like this, we are happy that the Holy Spirit is doing it through us, you know. So we appreciate this. And true, unconditional love, hey guys, it's a tough subject, you know. Even I didn't know what it truly, truly meant. And then when I look at the life of Jesus and I see some of the people that he died for, even though they treated him, and I'm like, oh, so then, and then me, why am I doing the opposite? So then I realized, okay, you know what, this is really what unconditional love is, and I need to start learning it, and not just learning it, but also applying it in my own life. Yeah. And then the next one, we have Clownery City. Clownery City. So Clownery City is a YouTube channel. Yeah. It's a YouTube channel that's managed by Chifua. Chifua is a lover of Jesus Christ as well. And he does funny videos on YouTube through Clownery City. So yeah, man. Thank you, Chifua, for commenting. We appreciate you, man. And he says, entertaining/funny and yet super powerful at the same time. Great video, gents. Great video. Thank you so much again. We all glory goes to God. He is the one who empowers us to be able to sit here and share, you know. So we really, really appreciate God for what he's doing in our lives. And then we have our lovely mother. Our mom says, unconditional love is the best way of winning people to Jesus Christ. 100%. That is so true, bro. You know, when sometimes we think that, you know, the Bible says correction is good, né? But sometimes in the correction, we forget the loving part. We're supposed to correct with love. We should do it with compassion, right, and grace. But sometimes all we ever do is rebuke people harshly and leave them like that. We convict the people, or sometimes even judge, you know, without actually, you know, taking them through the process of transformation through love, you see. So love is very important, guys. This is the best way to win people to Christ. In fact, Jesus, when you look at Jesus Christ and his ministry,
it's via love.
Via love. When he was forgiving people, healing people, it was compassion and love that drove him to do those things. And people followed him because of the love that he had. You know, it wasn't just, you're going to go to hell. True, the person will probably go to hell and you're saying the right thing. However, how you do it, it needs to be with love, you see.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very important. And then we have Harmony Kekai. Harmony is one of my good friends from high school, a very powerful worshiper. So thank you so much, Harmony, for watching the video. Thank you. Then we have Sihle Mchopela. And Sihle says, thank you so much for this, gents. Definitely sharing this video with my community. What do you think about that one?
Hey, man. Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, man. And like Lux always says, man, it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks through us. And we're glad that it's doing something for you and your community.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing. You see, guys, we love it when you share. Thank you for sharing. You know, you're making our day, Sisle. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Now we have The Official Girl.
I like that name. The Official Girl.
Official.
It means there is only one girl.
One.
And it's you.
And you're the official one.
Awe.
So The Official Girl says, I had to watch this one twice because it is that loaded, hey? Thank you so much for sharing these car chats with us. Another spirit-filled bang. Thank you so much.
And they're really car chats.
You know, these are really car chats. We actually have these conversations in the car. Like, our car is filled with so much conviction. so much knowledge and understanding and wisdom, you know, that takes place in these in the car, bro. So we're always talking about different things in life, and you know, we hope that we can bring those chats here, more and more of those chats. But thank you so much, the official girl. And then we have Mpo. Mpo always types essays. Mpo, and you know what? We appreciate you for typing such long comments. We really, really do appreciate this so much. So Mpo says, Batong, Mpo's voice, ahlebana. But it's true, but Mpo, we had to do the voice. It's so true. And oh, if you look, Mpo, you know, Mpo sent me an essay, and she continued this message on WhatsApp.
Like, let me respect YouTube.
Yeah, let me
cut the comment. Let's take the rest to WhatsApp.
What we want. And I even told her, listen, I'm going to reply. I read it. I'm going to reply. And I still have to reply to her because what she said was powerful. Yes. So she says in the comments, when you said that lady was looking forward to meeting the Satan guy, my first reaction was, sis, why? And that's true, bro. It's true, dog. I was also thinking the same thing. Like, why would anyone do that? Then I forgot. Oh, man, fella, I asked God to use me.
Uh-huh.
You see? So if I want to be used by God, he's going to take me to the places where people are damaged.
Yeah.
Where people need love. Where people need transformation, deliverance. You get what I'm saying? Yes. So I need to be a conduit.
A conduit.
A conduit of deliverance. A conduit of healing. You know, of love, you know, of transformation. You get what I'm saying?
Hmm.
So it's true, man. We all of us thought that at some point in our lives. And she continues. She says, Jonah's story relates to Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 16, the parable of the vineyard workers, where it described how God's kingdom works. Actually, those people are like us. We sometimes don't understand how God can just dish out mercy and love to people we feel don't deserve it. Hmm. That time, we have also received so much mercy. And that's true. Sometimes we don't show mercy to people when we don't mind receiving mercy and forgiveness from Jesus. We always go to Jesus asking for forgiveness, which means you have an expectation that he will forgive you. Mm. But when other people expect you to also show them grace, then we don't.
Yeah.
You see, and that's hypocrisy.
Yeah, we don't show the love we were shown.
Exactly. You see, which is unfair. And this story that she's talking about explains that so well. Please go and read Matthew chapter 20 verse 16. I'm assuming that this is the right reference. And if it is the right one, please go and read it.
Yeah.
Go and read it. And then she continues. I told you it's an essay. Jesus died for the guy whose ear got sliced off and put it back, but still continue to crucify him. Joe, thanks for the video. Let me stop here before I comment a whole essay. You did comment a whole essay.
And then you took the rest to WhatsApp.
And we love it. Thank you. Keep going on. Do that. Yes, man. You know the guy, when Peter sliced that guy's ear off and Jesus put it back on his head.
Yeah. And but he didn't say thanks, guys. Nah. Let's stop.
Let's not do this, guys. Jesus healed me. Come on, guys. Let's think about it. Now the crucifixion continued. And last but not least, we have Joy. Ah, Joy, thank you so much for commenting. Joy. Ah, Joy, thank you, thank you, thank you. Joy goes to church with us. And Joy says, I think the most challenging aspect of unconditional love for us as people is the sacrificial dimension of it. Very true. Because the sacrificial part is saying that I'm going to put aside some of the things that I want to show you unconditional love. You know, certain feelings that I have, anger, offense, I'm going to put that aside so that going forward, we may still live in peace and harmony and reconciliation, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then she continues, she says, it's often easier to show love through passion or commitment, etc. But when you have to lay down your life or sacrifice aspects personal to you, like your money, your personal items, feelings, comfortability, pride, reputation, etc., we set limits on how to show agape love. This is very true, guys.
Yeah.
I know this is
true. Deep one.
When it comes to actually sacrificing certain things, like, you know, anger and what your time and, you know, we put limits on it. We say, this is enough, you know. But Jesus went all the way to death for us, you know. And I'm not saying you must go and die. I'm just saying that we should be willing to go so far for people in terms of loving them, you know, because the Bible talks about how we are brothers and sisters in Christ, you know.
Mm.
So if you know that you would do anything for your sibling biologically, then we should be willing to also do the same for our spiritual siblings as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the last comment. Thank you guys so much. Yo, the comments are increasing. They are climbing. Yo, guys, thank you so much for blessing us with so many comments. Guys, please comment. Continue to comment. We love it. Thank you so much. We appreciate you guys. Ne? Sharp. We're going to start with the video now. And today we have a very interesting video. I think, yeah, this video is convicting me also. And today we're going to talk about, you know what? Let me let Taylor kick it off.
Ash, yeah, man. Yo, this one, like I said, is dragging me too. So, like, if any of you are like me or Logs, a lot of the times you think about your future and all the things you want to achieve, and if you had it your way, all of these things would have happened tomorrow, right? But then I thought to myself, and I had this conversation with Logs, like, if God gave me what I asked for tomorrow or right now, would I be able to manage that thing?
Sure. That is a very important point. Will you be able to manage that thing? Because me, I think about myself, ne? If God said, my boy, 30 billion, I'm giving you 30 billion notification, 30 billion in my bank account.
Right now.
I won't lie, bruh. My mind would not be able to conceptualize what just happened to my life, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm going to go crazy. I'm probably going to leave my job.
Yeah.
I'm probably not... Bruh, let me be honest. Like, 30 billion can do a lot, man. Mm. And I might leave the country.
You see?
Because, you know, it can buy me a better life.
That thing, man, you never have to work another day.
Your life, though, I just invest the money, put in a bank account.
You're gonna leave your job too, bro.
And now, if I leave my job and I leave the country, it means I've left the church.
Yes.
Eish. Do you see what the problem?
Maraway, when I give you 3K or 300.
Oh, 3K, I won't leave my job. 3K, I'm not going anywhere. 3K tomorrow, I'm gonna continue get into the work at 9 o'clock, leave at 5 p.m.
Same story.
Yeah, because 3K, my mind is not. It's not exploding. My mind is of the capacity of something like 3K or 30K. I can manage it. I can budget it and manage it well. Yeah. But 30 billion, my mind, I don't think my mind is at that level to be able to be okay with just 30 million in my account. I'm like, I can manage this money. I can, you know, I already know what I need to do with it. And like, you get what I'm saying? So it means that if I clearly don't have the mental capacity for something that big, it means I have a lot more to learn.
Yeah.
Because there are billionaires who will tell you that 30 billion is actually small.
I'm like, what do you mean, cousin?
It's because they know how to manage 30 billion. They know that 30 billion has a job. It has a place to go. It has responsibilities. It knows where it's going.
Yeah.
But me, I don't. So which means that I have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. So I also thought of this example. Like, while you say that, you mentioned that I still have a lot to learn. Right? If God took me now and said, Tato, Logs, you guys are CEO of Apple right now. You are CEO. You are Tim Cook gone. It's you now.
Yeah.
What are the chances you'll run that organization to the crowd?
I mean, the chances are high because me, I'd only be able to maybe be creative about maybe the design of the phone and maybe the apps and stuff. But in terms of like logistics. The 10,000 trucks that transport the microchips to the other company that makes the what's then the Wi-Fi's and the all those electronic intricate things.
I don't know enough to say that I will successfully run Apple right now.
So this means we want the end product. We want the product without the process.
Exactly. We want the photosynthesis. We want the oxygen.
Without the photosynthesis. And it's impossible for oxygen to be there without the photosynthesis. And then we want to fly the 747 Boeing 747 without trying out the simulator first.
Exactly. We have friends in aviation. One of them started last year.
And Mo just started last year.
Mo just started last year. Yeah. So it's like Mo saying, you know what, bro? Hey man, I don't want to do these simulators anymore. Give me a Boeing 747. Let's go.
That's scary. That's scary because now here's the thing: a Boeing 747 carries large amounts of people,
exactly,
and it's people's lives in your hands as a pilot. Yeah. Now I know for a fact, that if I didn't start with the simulator first, where no one's life is in danger, I'm going to learn how to fly a plane.
Yes.
And then after learning how to fly a plane from the simulator, they put me in a small aeroplane that we're going to practice landing and taking off and all those intricate things. Yes. Né? And then after that, after more practice and more learning, then you can go, eventually go get your public professional, what, and then you go and fly people, actual passengers.
And you know what that does, right?
Mm.
That process, right? You start with the simulator. Now you have to be consistent with the simulator.
Mm.
Then you go to the small plane. Now you have to be consistent with the small plane.
Yes.
Then you graduate bigger.
Yeah.
That process ensures consistency.
It does ensure consistency. And one thing I did also realize, né, is that I realized that when we keep asking God to take us to the end product without the process, and the process is supposed to teach you consistency and give you more skill. You know what happens as a result of not having that skill and consistency is when we get to that end product or that end place, the end destination, without the process, it brings a lot of fear and uncertainty. Because one day someone calls you up and say, Mr. Moloko, we've been practicing how to fly. We have an emergency. We want you to fly this Boeing 797-747. Ah! And me, I know that they think I was practicing. Nah, I was not practicing. I was watching Netflix, dog. Most of the time. Like, I would be so scared. I would be so fearful, bruh, because I don't know what I'm going to do. And sometimes in life, bruh, the reason why we get to places and we're so anxious and scared is maybe because we didn't allow God to take us through that process so that we can build faith. And if you look all over the Bible, bruh, every process that these Bible characters went through was to build their faith. You look at the Israelites, bruh, them getting to the Red Sea and God using Moses to split the Red Sea so they can walk through. You see that later on, when Joshua was now the leader of the Israelites, they had to cross another sea. But you look at the difference between the two stories is that the first time they had to wait for the sea to open, then they crossed. But this time, because they knew what happened in the past, the Bible says that the priests, when they were holding the Ark of the Covenant, they placed their feet in the water first, then the water opened. So they didn't wait for the water to open so that they can see if this is going to happen. No, they've been through this process. They already knew there was no fear or anxiety there with those priests, because they went into a river with the Ark of the Covenant. And then crazy. Only then did the water open. And that's because they knew, because of faith, that the process
this
built.
Happened before.
It happened before.
We know what happens when we get to the situation.
Exactly. So sometimes we experience fear. And when you experience fear in a certain environment or in a certain end destination that we may be in a phase of our life, ask yourself, maybe is it because I've ignored the process that God was trying to take 100%. Me through? Did I not learn enough?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's something that we need to allow God to keep doing in our lives, is to allow God to continue taking us through those processes of gaining faith, building that consistency, of building that skill. Mm. And speaking of consistency, bruh, we learn of this of consistency in the story of Joseph.
Yeah.
You see, you know, when we look, for example, consistency, when we talk about it in soccer, a soccer player who's been consistent, we say that that soccer player is on form.
Mm.
So what being on form means is that over across a number of consecutive games, you're consistently showing high performance rates.
Yeah.
And in each game, every high performance that you've been showing consistently across those consecutive games, they classify you as being on top form.
Mm.
Right? So that it means that the projection of you performing on an excellent level in the next game is high.
Yeah. For example, Sheva Marcus Rashford.
Manchester United fans.
Just continue.
Marcus Rashford has been on a very high form, right? Mm. Because of his high performance on every consecutive game, meaning that the next game, there's an expectation that he's going to perform excellently, consistently. And he actually does.
And he does.
And we look at Joseph's life.
Yeah.
We look at Joseph. Joseph had a gift. And his gift was a gift of interpreting dreams.
Yes.
Right? At home, when he interprets dreams, they don't appreciate it, because they're like, your dream is not making us happy.
Yeah.
We don't like your dream. In fact, the brothers didn't like it so much that they sold him to Egypt as a slave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have stopped there. It's like, people don't like my dreams.
People don't like this gift that I have.
Let me stop interpreting.
When he got to Potiphar's house, he continued showing a spirit of excellence.
Mm.
You know, sometimes as Christians, we may find ourselves in situations that are not pleasing. And then we pull back our skill. We say we're only going to do half. Ah, man, my employer doesn't appreciate me, so I'm not going to put in effort anymore. I'm going to do things half-baked.
Half-baked
stuff. And then now, when someone now wants to vouch for you one day, when someone says, I know a guy who works that side who's so good, they can't because what the perception that they have of you is a low rate of excellence. Yeah.
Right? They think your 50% is your 100%.
Right? But only because when you thought you told yourself you're not going to do things with excellence.
Exactly.
Now they have a perception that 50% you were putting in is actually your 100%.
Yes.
Now when we look at Joseph, because of his spirit of excellence, where he did everything with excellence despite the situation, he was a slave, but he did things with excellence.
Mm.
We see his situation got worse, right?
Mm.
He went to prison.
Yeah.
But even in the prison cell, he got promoted in prison because he still showed a consistency.
He had to be consistent.
Of excellence.
Yeah.
And he practiced his dream interpretations even
in jail. Prison.
He could have said, I'm in jail.
I'm not going to interpret to prisoners.
Prisoners, why am I interpreting for these guys?
Me.
But now he kept maintaining and practicing this skill.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
Such that he was so consistent then at the point where the person he interpreted this dream for, who went back to Pharaoh's courts, said, I know a guy who can interpret dreams better than this.
Trust me, he got you.
He got you. I know, because he interpreted for me accurately.
Accurately. He was 100%.
And when they called him to come into Pharaoh's courts, what happened? He came there. It was nothing new to him because he was doing this consistently. He was on form.
He knows his thing.
He kept practicing. He was warm.
So imagine they took him straight from his brothers. They say, go to Pharaoh and interpret his dream.
Maybe there were things that he was supposed to learn in those.
You see.
He was, so if he went straight from his brother straight to Pharaoh, maybe his thing did not build maturity yet.
Yes.
You see. Exactly. But through that process that he took, there was maturity that was built and his consistency was shown in Pharaoh's courts. You see, when they say you must keep it warm, like warm up, keep your muscles warm. So at any point you're ready for quick, high-intensity movements. You get what I'm saying?
100%.
You see, sometimes you warm up the engine of the car in the morning so that when you start driving fast, it's already working consistent. The machines and the mechanisms inside the car is moving properly. You get what I'm saying? So we need to show consistency in our lives despite the situation. Yes, sometimes the environment is unfavorable. Sometimes the situation is unfavorable, but it's not a chance for us to stop being excellent.
Yes.
The Bible talks about the spirit of excellence that Daniel had. So let us also pray for the spirit of excellence in all the things that we do.
Yes.
And speaking about environments, let's talk about John the Baptist, right? We understand that your consistency will become your identity.
100%.
Your consistency will become your identity. People will know you for the things you're consistent in. If you are consistent in lying, you'll be known as a liar. If you are consistent.
The Spanban the liar.
And that's the story they're going to tell to their friends and they're going to close doors for you.
Yeah.
Because that's who your consistency you've been showing. But now let's look at John. He's called John the Baptist
because
he was consistent in baptizing, in his ministry.
Yeah.
Very consistent in that. You see,
in his environment.
John was baptizing people in the
wilderness. In the wilderness, that water was apparently that water is milky.
It's milky, bro. It's very muddy, that water. You know, he was eating locusts there in the wilderness. Now he's been consistent. That Jesus knew where to find him because of his consistency.
You know, if you're looking for John, go to the wilderness.
You'll find him there.
And what he's doing is baptizing.
Now Jesus comes. Now, when Jesus comes, let me read you the verse, guys. Let me read you the verse of John when Jesus spoke to him. Now, John, let's look at it from Matthew chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 13. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus, he's asking Jesus, why you come
like,
to me?
Why me, bro?
You must baptize
bro, look
me.
At the water, bro.
And
like,
Andrew,
how can you leave it
so dirty, so dusty, man? Come on, guys. Like, Jesus is coming and you guys just, it's just a normal day for you.
Mess, yeah, everything
is now bad. It's noticing how bad the place is now.
Yeah, no,
like, is this where we've been baptizing people? This is not suitable for Jesus. Jesus, you know, there's another river. It's clear.
It's clean, the water.
The water's clean.
Trust.
It's trust. I know someone. Maybe we can go there and we can baptize you there.
But not here.
But it was never about the environment. It was about the anointing that was placed inside of John. 100%. Because Jesus here says to him, but Jesus answered him, let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he says, then he consented. Right? Then John continued to baptize Jesus. So Jesus was saying that, Vedu, this thing that needs to take place is to fulfill all righteousness. Me being saved today, John had to open a way so that Jesus can come and be baptized so that things can happen. Now, it was never about the environment that John was in. It was about the anointing and the purpose of his life. So this means that whether he was in the wilderness or whether he was, the anointing will not change because the place that you're in or the environment that you're in is not suitable. So now this church that we're in can take about maybe 50 people at best, right? Now, the people here who worship, we have great singers, we have people who play in the band and they're good. They could be like, my skill needs to be on stage with all these big gospel artists. But they're not saying those things because they understand that it is not the place or the amount of people that make your anointing bigger or smaller. Your anointing is the same, but God has called you to minister to those people. And maybe this is the process that God wants to take you through before he puts you on those stages. Maybe the things he wants you to learn, how to be a servant in the house of the Lord, and certain things that he wants you to understand, knowledge that he wants you to acquire before he takes you to those places. Now, you can't consider the environment that you're in as maybe a measure of the level that you are at. You see, it's not about that. And John, maybe John realized that,
because John had to do what he'd been doing. This time is Jesus.
And Jesus
but
said,
you
man,
have to do the same thing.
Continue doing what you've been doing.
Bro, I'm just here. Do what you've been doing. Same thing.
I'm here because you were chosen for this thing. You're consistent in this thing. And I'm coming to you because you know how to do this thing.
Exactly.
And then if the verse continues in verse 16. Says, and Jesus was baptized. Immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So now this verse is showing us that as a result of John baptizing Jesus, this is what happened next, to show that I used John to baptize Jesus so that Jesus' ministry can begin thereafter. It was the anointing in him. His anointing was there, and that was what God set out for him to achieve. And sometimes in life, we ask ourselves, "Yo, but God, did you really call me for these things?" You know, and the fact that you're born in this time means that God knew that you were born for a time such as this, that every place that you find yourself, you are meant for these things. And sometimes we have this thing called comparisons. We want what other people have.
Yeah.
And that thing can be dangerous.
Yeah.
It can be dangerous.
So like, nah, man, I should be at big stage, man. Yeah.
You know? I should be, you know, like other people.
And sometimes your path or your road may not look exactly the same as somebody else's. You get what I'm saying?
That's true.
So therefore, you need to undergo your road, your lane, your pace, right?
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
The one that God set out for you specifically. Mm. Because I may be a psychologist. I have doctor in front of my name.
Mm.
But I can't go to a medical room and operate someone's brain, even though the work that I do has to do with the mind.
Mm.
Because if I go there and I try to do brain surgery, I will be very ineffective. I'll be very useless, and that person's life is in danger.
Yeah.
But where I'm supposed to be as a psychologist, I am one of the best.
Exactly.
I can be very effective. And that's the thing about our lives, is that you were born for a time such as this. There's certain things that God has written about you. When David was talking about how the things about my life, there are many things that you wrote about me that are more than the grains of sand, right?
Mm.
That in your books, these are the things that you've written. So God has said and prophesied things about your life. And it is our duty to go and learn more about what it is that God wants us to achieve in life, so that we can be so effective. When we don't know what God wants to use us for and where he wants to use us, we start just trying everything. We want to be jack of all trades.
Mm.
And then we're ineffective in all of these things.
Yeah.
But when we know exactly where God wants to take us in life, we show so much efficiency, consistency. Like, we become very excellent in the things that we do because we know exactly where the anointing is.
Mm.
But when we start doing things that we're not anointed for, we become ineffective and we embarrass ourselves and God too.
Yeah. And don't be fooled by somebody else's lane.
Mm.
Sometimes you just got to be patient with your lane and your own process.
Be patient.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's those, hey, you explained it to me very nicely.
Mm.
Those four things. What is it?
Oh, I think
we called it, there's naive optimism.
Yes. What is naive optimism?
So naive optimism is like immediately when I find out something new at all, I go into this new industry or something that I'm doing, there's always this naive optimism of wanting to know more or wanting to do it.
Yeah, you're excited about
I'm
it.
Just like, excited. I just want to do
I like this thing.
I like this
thing. And I want to do it so bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then you jump into it, right?
With yes.
But you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
Right? Mm. Then there is pessimistic.
What did we call it?
Forgot the word, right?
Informed pessimism.
Informed pessimism.
Yeah.
There we go. Informed pessimism is basically now you've realized how much there is to know.
Yes.
And you
realize that this thing is deep.
Yeah, it's actually deeper
than
I thought.
Bigger than you thought.
So you might get discouraged.
You get discouraged, and a lot of people fall at this point.
Exactly.
Mm.
You see.
Yes.
And then
the next stage.
The next stage after you get through the pessimistic, informed pessimism.
Mm.
You finally get to the
informed optimism.
Informed optimism.
Yes, yes.
That's when now you know exactly what you need to know.
Yes.
And exactly how to get there.
Yeah, because now you figured that now there's so much that you need to know, and now you're discouraged because you realize this is tougher than I thought.
Yeah.
But now when you keep working on it, keep getting knowledge, keep being consistent in practicing that thing, you start to learn it so much that you figured a way. And now because you're like, I have a way. I got it.
I know how to get
Now you have informed optimism.
Yes.
Now you're even more optimistic about where you're going.
It's like a second wind.
Yes. Second wind. And then the fourth stage is the success part. That's what happens in those four stages. So we need to learn to take the process that God is taking us through. Allow God to change those things in us. And see, when you know the things that God wants to change in your life, it becomes so much easier. It's easier to be patient when you know what God is trying to fix in your life.
Exactly.
I know that maybe God wants to fix a certain mindset that I have. And when I pray to God and I say, God, Holy Spirit, reveal to me what I need to fix in my life.
Mm.
And then he shows me. Then I'm like, Ash! And now that I know that how much I can be cause destruction in that end point.
Yeah.
So because I know I don't want to cause destruction where God has taken me, I'm going to allow him to work on my life.
And when you allow him to work on your life, you move at God's pace.
You move at God's
pace. And not
pace.
Yours.
Amen. So that is the video that we have for you guys today. Thank you so much for watching. Remember that your body is in ministry. And
remember, guys, trust the process like Arsenal fans.
Yeah, that's a testimony.
And move at God's pace.
Mm.
Endure God's process.
Mm. And part of enduring is that God does give you the strength. Guys, sometimes we think that endurance is just us alone. God gives us so many, 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 many things. Blessings, strength. He says if you wait on the Lord, if you trust in the Lord, he shall renew your strength. So we have God's strength for these things. We are blessed with these things. So with that being said, what is your body saying to us?